What's up, what's up, what's up, y'all? It's welcome to another episode of SW Podcast. What's up? It's July.
Let me put my camera off.
Okay, we're going to jump right into the show, y'all. Welcome to another wonderful week, another episode. It is Thursday, July 1st. I'm actually kind of happy we're getting to do the show on the 1st of July because it's a new month, and I'm always happy about being able to have a show when we could do an intro. So, welcome to July. Now, let me see, because it looked like Queen Mike going in and out. So, y'all, listen, I'm going to go ahead and get the show started and take us on through whenever until Queen can't get back in, because wherever she is today, she's having bad reception. But we're going to keep this going. We got a wonderful guest. We're going to get this interview started and the show started. So, welcome to SW Podcast. Episode number 78. We have Mutaki Atbar in the building today. It is again July 1. It's a new fiscal year for all you state workers and all you employed people who have to, you know, start everything over on July 1. But it's also the second half of 2021. So with that being said, yes, ma'am. With that being said, Queen and I are gonna welcome our guest. Into the show today because, you know, we like to jump into the show talking with the guests about the quote, the facts, all of that. We want them to be involved with every portion of today's show. Queen, you can hear me back there. You got good. You good, girl?
Yes, can't. You can hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Tell the people what's up.
I'm nut and chilling, you know, still overjoyed from over the weekend. But, y'all, that was like the bomb weekend. It was the bomb weekend. It really was. Interviews went good. So I'm still joyful. I'm still like on high right now. Like it's just off the Richter scale.
Off the Richter scale. And y'all know why she's joyful because we are still on the summer promo tour. And Queen just left Fort Meade, Kissimmee area. And she had a wonderful weekend full of activities, events. We're going to have her talk about that a little later on. But definitely look for our presence in the next couple of cities because we got a couple of more stops to make. And we definitely want to make sure you guys are in tune and entertained and getting the knowledge in our wonderful energy when we jump into y'all areas, you know. So we're gonna go ahead and bring on our guests for today. We're going to welcome on, let me see, Mr. Mutaki Atbar, who is an attorney in the state of Florida. The city of Tallahassee is his resident area, but he serves the North Florida area as well. So we're going to bring him in and let him introduce himself and tell us a little bit about himself. And, you know, if y'all got questions, you can drop them over in the comments because he might be able to answer. Now, if y'all try to get a consultation out, no. We're not going to do that over here.
Don't be trying
to use us for consultation services. You got to call him for that now. But other than that, you can ask him a couple things over there that just result around kind of what we're talking about today. But other than that, we're going to get the show started. You ready, Queen?
I'm ready.
What's happening?
Hey, how y'all doing? Appreciate y'all.
How you doing? We're talking.
I'm doing great. I appreciate y'all for having me on the podcast. I've been watching y'all on social media, so I was excited to get the invitation to come on today.
Oh, you're welcome.
And so
well, we are excited to have you here.
I appreciate it. So like you said, I'm an attorney here. I've been practicing for like 17 years now. Born and raised in Tallahassee. Went to FAMU High from kindergarten through 12th grade. Went to Morehouse College for undergrad. Went to University of Miami for law school. And I was one of those people that said I was never coming back to Tallahassee, but I've been back. I left for 10 years, and then I've been back for about 14 years now. And honestly, that was probably the best decision that I ever made because it's, you know, good to be home, good to be able to do work at home and to impact the community in different ways and, you know, kind of be the change that we want to see in our hometown. So, you know, it's really great to be back. I do mostly criminal defense and personal injury law. I have an attorney in my office. She does family law and bankruptcy law as well. And again, like I'm right here in Frenchtown, and And I thought it was important to be in Frenchtown in order for me to, you know, like have the people that's coming behind us understand that you don't have to run off to Killarney, you don't have to run off to, you know, other areas, that you can be right in your community and make the changes and do the things that you want to see right in your community.
Wonderful. Well, I love that you took that approach and that you decided to come back and bring your services to the people where you were, you know, born and raised, because it also speaks to the children of the communities, because they want to see people who grew up here show them a difference here. They don't want to just believe that we got to leave to make a difference in life. We got to leave to have, you know, set our goal, make our goals or reach our goals. Right. So with that being said, working in the Tallahassee area, do you believe that being in this area, you are able to be more fruitful with your services?
Yes. It's just a different type of passion than I think I would have anywhere else. You know, I mean, when you say fruitful, I guess like be able to like, I guess like more, a little more successful than I would be anywhere else.
A little bit of both. I kind of allude to the success, but also to the fact that because fruitful with some people is not always monetary.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
You know, how you perceive it is what I want to get. Okay.
Yeah, definitely. It means a lot more for me to be in Tallahassee than it would be to be anywhere else. And like I said, like, you know, like me and a lot of other people, and I'm sure, you know, you all probably thought about like, man, I'm getting out of here. Tallahassee is not what it should be. It's not for young professionals and all those things. And so, you know, a lot of the work that I do, it is to make Tallahassee better and safer and, you know, in different kind of ways. It's also, when we think about like the social aspect, when I say the social aspect, just like how we're impacted by law enforcement, how we're impacted by, you know, different policies that's in Tallahassee, you know, whether it's like local government and how they provide to the Black community and the minority communities, you know, I kind of found myself, as much as I hate politics, I found myself in politics because I know like that's where we need to be in order to make sure that we get the attention that we need, like as a community. And so I don't think I would do it with as much passion anywhere else because it's not home. And two, I can see and feel the people that it impacts, you know, whatever the work is. And even when I look at the criminal defense work that I do, I always approach it from a standpoint like this, my homeboy.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to make sure my homeboy's straight. Right. Or if this is not my homeboy, then I got to make sure that if law enforcement approaches, arrests, come after or whatever, somebody that is my homeboy, they better know that, you know, somebody like me with that passion is going to make sure that they did everything that they were supposed to do. So all of those things, I think like me being home, just give me that extra boost, you know, to do everything that I can do to make this community better.
I like that. I think that answers a lot. You kind of answered a couple of things in one, because, you know, the passion alone, the drive to want to do it, and the fact that you feel like it may not be as, you may not have as much passion in another area. I don't know about that. I think you may not. I think that whatever you're passionate about, you're going to give it the same amount of energy in another area. I think that you, just because you know the people here, it just seems to be a little bit more, you know, like this, like you said, this my friend, this my people. Right. So you work it. And I don't think that you're going to work less hard for somebody you don't know. Right. I just think that you just have more charisma. I mean, you just feel more charismatic about the fact that you are helping someone you do know. Yeah. So, you know, that makes sense, huh?
Yeah. I mean, you can see and feel the impact. Like, it's not necessarily just a business transaction. Like, it's
correct.
A family transaction. Almost.
A family transaction.
Right. And that's a good thing. That's a real good thing, because, you know, you don't want to ever make, you want to have your person comfortable with you anyway. So they need to be able to trust you, feel good about who they're talking to. Comfortable, you know, of course you got the attorney client privilege stuff, but beyond that, you still want to have the moral connection with your attorney. So right. I love that. So we're going to get into our quote of the day. And now we normally have about an hour show, but I'm not gonna try to. I like to lie to y'all up front and say we're not gonna keep y'all the whole hour. But it's depending. It's depending upon, you know, your feedback.
That's the vibe.
You know, we can see where it goes.
If it's a dead vibe, you know, I'm gonna be like, let me get my talk out of here because it's my own business. jokingly, we will normally keep you the full hour. So I just wanted to at least put that out there.
Okay.
In case you needed to run off debt, but tell me, hey Shelby, I gotta, you know, just let me know. Okay. But our quote of the day is, laws are like sausages. It is better not to see them being made. So, and that's by Otto von Bismarck. Mm-hmm. And so quotes of the day, facts of the days are normally icebreaker conversations that we have to get a little bit of more understanding of who you are. Mm-hmm. What do you think about said quotes?
I don't necessarily agree with that. because what I've learned, like I guess like pre coming back to Tallahassee, like I would, that probably would be my, like I would say like, yeah, I agree with that. And more so because like I really didn't care, you know, how they were being made, what was going on. Like I really didn't care. But like the more I get involved, like I said, like in politics, as much as I don't like it, the more I understand that like how they're being made is really like, it's important because it also goes to like who they intend to impact or not impact, who's rubbing whose hands, who's benefiting from it, who's not benefiting from it, who's getting a deal out of it. And so when you look behind the law, that's when you really understand what the law is for, what it's about. So I want to see it made, like I would rather see it made so I can see what it's really about. Cause when you look at, I'll take like Marcy's Law, for example, when Marcy's Law came out or when it was being discussed, when it was being made, like, so behind the scenes, you can see, I can foresee the impact that it's having right now. But like, so people that's not paying attention to it, you would just say, oh, victims' rights, cool. Victims should have rights. Let's vote yes for it, right? And then now we're seeing now that it's protecting law enforcement, that it's, you know, like kind of forcing cases to go faster than they should because victims have rights. We can't get certain information because victims have rights. All of those things. But when I was looking behind the scenes, like I saw, like I foresaw like all of these things coming. And that's why I was like, I don't think it's for us. So I don't think it's really necessarily for us. So that's just one example of many, like the protest law, HB1, you know, most people might look at it and say like, just on its face, like, yeah, you shouldn't destroy property when you're protesting. Like, yeah, that's a good law. But then when you look at the meat of it, you look at what's behind it, you look at the process that they went through to make it, you understand that it's a dog whistle for white supremacists against anybody
trying to protest
Black lives, you know, for protesting. It's a direct response to what went on last summer.
Right.
So I want to see that being made so I can know how to address it and how to attack it. And I think it's necessary for us as Black people to pay attention to that, to how they're being made, who's making them, who's behind it, who's supporting it, the lobbyists that's supporting it, so we can be fully aware of like all the things that we're dealing with.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Honestly, the way laws are written, so confusing.
Mm-hmm.
When they're even petitioning for the laws, it's so confusing. So they know that most times people are gonna look at a couple of lines, see what it's about. It's gonna sound good up front. Da 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 da. We're gonna mostly just say yes or whatever for it, versus getting more knowledge on it. So I definitely understand the reason why it's better now to want to know what the law is about, who hands in it, all those, you know, all those wonderful meat and potato things, because people literally are trying to get over on you in your face.
Right.
In your face. They ain't doing it behind your back no more. Yeah. So that's very true. Well, you got anything you want to say about that quote?
Y'all done stomped it. Y'all stomped it all. Stomped it all up. But you really, I just say, do your research when it comes to the malls. Really do your research, because just like you said, we just read the first couple of lines and we don't really read everything and go into detail what it's really saying. Sometimes you have to read that stuff over and over again to really understand what it's actually saying, the contents of it. So, man, do your research. Mm-hmm. Most important, do your own research.
Right. That's right. Yes, that's true. And we have a comment. What did it say? Coded legal language. Got to check the lobbyists or organizations back in the bill. Right. You got to see who hands inside of things. You got to know who all getting a little piece of what's going on. People got vested interest in things. That's why they are lobbyists, and that's why they are involved in that type of stuff. They got people that are out there lobbying for them so that they can have their vested interest.
Right.
And more than likely, it's personal gain.
Right.
So it's political attacks to gain personal strife. Right. And no, it's really, really, really,
really. And I also think I want to add to that, like, it's something that we need to get involved in, like, now also. Yeah. And that doesn't necessarily mean that we might not win every time, or we might not win most of the time, especially now in Florida, the legislature is the majority Republican. Right. So we most likely won't get anything passed that's major, but like, let's find out what it takes to write a bill. You know, we have things that we want to see. Let's get to our representatives and say, hey, we want this bill, or even if we don't want a full bill, we want this law to pass. And what they do, they hide something in another law, you know? So again, going back to Marcy's law, they hid increasing the ages of judges within that law. So a lot of people saw victims' rights, but they didn't see that the minimum age for a judge went from 75 to 80. So now, you know, the judge,
I didn't even know that.
It's hidden in there. So now
we got
judges longer, you know, judges that we don't like.
We got a lot of oh my God. Mm-hmm. That's ridiculous. Do you know how?
Man, that's crazy.
But we can do the same thing, you know, like the brother said, like, you know, let's think about the lobbyists and organizations back in the bills. We could be those organizations. We could push the lobbyists that represent us to push certain things. And those lobbyists, they know how to hide language in certain bills, or
they do
and do things. And a lot of these bills also, they see the legislative floor year after year after year after year. So even if we don't get it this year or next year, or the year after, sooner or later, that language gonna pass through, and so we can't continue to just be like, "Oh man, we didn't get what we want," or we just back out and run.
Right. Local laws, local votes, and all that stuff always matter. Like to me, it just always depends on who you got in the seat and who you know locally that's gonna get the job done. And a lot of people don't realize that when you got young children already rooted in law in high school, those are the ones we need to be pushing toward these positions. They don't got to do those positions full time. Right. Those are like one you meet. How often do you meet as a county or city commissioner?
It's like twice a month, I
believe. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? But you're taking in the vested people. You're taking in people who already have knowledge because they've studied this in school, in high school. You're starting from that area.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And now, like at this point, at this juncture, you have, and I bring that up because I saw on your website that you guys offer some type of, is it lawyer for a day or what type
We went to Rickards and we did like a law day at Rickards where we gave them a mock trial and we, you know, kind of shadowed them, allowed them to shadow us. And we also always do like internships and everything, because I think that's what you're getting at. It's important for kids, younger kids, to like see what they want to be. Like, so whether it's doctor, politician, hairdresser, barber, whatever it is, I think it's important for them to like get that direct experience. And that's something that we always do.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's incredibly good. We need, and those things, how often do you all do that?
The law day, pre-COVID was the last time we did it, but
we
try to get with the class at least once a year, and try to do that.
That's really cool, though. I like that.
I like that. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, and the kids like really enjoyed it, and like I said, like we try to make sure that we're at a black school so we could get our students for the most
right. We have another we need MLKs and Thurgood Marshalls. Yeah, because that's the ages. You gotta start from that youth age, pulling these kids in. Now I've noticed that fact of the day. I gotta go to my fact of the day first. Because the fact of the day brought on some very, very interesting laws. And I want to ask, are these laws something that you agree with?
Okay.
Or something? So this is our meat and potatoes of the show. We're going to get to know Mr. Mutaki a little bit. Let me see. We got a couple comments. Let's see what the comments are first. Let me jump into that. Tam, therefore leaving us to be sentenced by judges that are racist even longer, not just therefore, because they already there, but they have a longer term. And you know, angry white people last a long time. They don't just they just last the longest. What's happening, Joe? We got Joe checking in. Who else we got on here? We used to have
Team Court back in the day.
Yeah, that's what Mataki's Day reminded me of when I saw that on his website, because I did Team Court a few times back in the day. It was so much fun.
They still do it. It's like a diversion type program now for people that, like, you know, some kids that have like petty crimes, but they also have it so you can be the lawyer. You got to go through a certain process to do it. And in NIMS right now, they actually have a magnet program for law, where they're training like the students to be lawyers. If a kid get in trouble at school, then they can like kind of hire somebody with NIMS bucks to represent them. And then they go through the disciplinary process as well. So that's very, very, very major, especially at NIMS. It's just one of a kind. I think the closest one that they've had was in Orlando. So from here to Orlando, this is the only program like that. So I think that's really dope.
That's cool as hell. That's real cool. Let me see what this last comment is before I jump into our facts of the day. Angry white. That's what I see. That's what I see.
All right, E. I'm telling you. Only E.
So okay. So let's see. One, women can kill adulterous husbands. This is a law. Did you know that in Hong Kong, a betrayed wife is legally allowed to kill her adulterous husband, although she may only do this with her bare hands? All sounds a bit strange to me, but what does it sound like to you? Mutaki, what you like?
That sounds scary to me.
That part, like, very scary.
I'm glad that's not legal here. I'll say that.
Listen, Hong Kong don't care.
Yeah. It'll be a lot of people not getting married. I think it'll be a lot of guys not getting married.
They got a high marital rate over there in that area. So they can actually kill their husbands as long as they do it with their bare hands.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Nah, that's wild. Yeah, that's crazy. I ain't never heard that like that.
Yeah. So I don't know. This next one is, I don't know what type of toads that they make in California, but it says that, did you know that in California, it is illegal to lick toads in order to get high, as some people were getting injured by the toad's poison?
What?
Well, that should be illegal. I don't care what kind of toad it is.
That's crazy.
In a mental asylum, if you licking any kind of toad.
They was getting high off toads.
Yeah, I never heard of that.
So obviously it was happening because they had to make a law.
Right.
Laws are made for strange stuff. They make rules for just think about this. Somebody had to write on a McDonald's cup, this cup will be hot.
Right.
On a coffee cup. Somebody had to write that. You ain't know.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So directions and rules are out there for a reason, but this is crazy. Somebody had to tell somebody to not lick toads. Okay. children under 12 are banned from phoning. Did you know that in Blue Earth, Minnesota, it is illegal for children under 12 years of age to speak on the telephone unless accompanied by one of their parents?
Wow. I think all of us would have been in jail if that was the...
we'll be under the jail. Much as we used to tell that three-way up back in the day, three-way calls.
Yeah. At 12, what's that, like middle school? Always on the phone. So I'm glad.
What if there was an emergency and your parents went home? What if you needed to call your parents because there's an emergency? Like, so you can't make a phone call unless how do they know that you're not 12?
That was probably like some angry parent that was like, okay, I'm gonna make sure that you don't use this phone. You're not up all night on the phone. I'm gonna go make a law to stop you from being
and petition, because what you gotta have like 100 signatures on certain things to get a petition to even go for law.
If you're a legislator or if you know a legislator, you can just get them to write it in the bill and then it's law. Sometimes
it's that simple. Well, we know they don't got their own personal lives.
Right.
Man, that's crazy.
That's interesting.
So that means that you don't agree with that law, huh?
Nah.
I think a lot of these we probably gonna be like, damn. Okay. Illegal to marry the same man four times. Did you know that in Kentucky, it is against the law for a woman to remarry the same man four times?
That's interesting. I guess at that point they're just saying like, we got to stop people from being stupid, so we just want to
don't do it. Just like, they had to make a law to stop people.
That's crazy.
It got out of hand.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, they just want to stop.
If you divorce the first time, if you divorce the second time, boy, don't even think about the third and the fourth time. Come on.
That's funny.
That's crazy. Kill six blackbirds before you marry me. Did you know that in Truro, Mississippi, before a man can get married, he must prove himself worthy by killing either three cows or six blackbirds?
Hmm. How many? What's their marriage rate out there?
Therefore.
If you've got a lot of marriages with no blackbirds and cows.
This is strange. Okay. Children need a license to play games. In Tennessee, it is illegal for children to play games on Sunday without a valid license.
Like what type of games? We talking about sports games?
Video games, Monopoly, I Spy.
Wow.
We talking about regular board games.
Once again, that's somebody that couldn't control their child and said, let me go pass the law so I can just tell you the law.
He's breaking down the laws, y'all. Y'all pay attention now because this is why.
See how they just slip stuff beside you. Like board games?
Can't do it.
So you tell me I can't go to go?
Where's your license?
Man, they
got me in jail and all of that.
I'm stunned by this. I think I'm really stunned by this.
That's
because
crazy.
I thought it was easier. I thought it was hard already to get kids to play board games And now you banning them. You making them have a license to play board games?
It's probably more for the video games. Probably, but
it's probably more for the video games. I'm a little stunned by that.
That's okay. Crazy.
Soap stealers forced to use it. Did you know that in Mohave County, Arizona, if you were caught stealing soap from a shop, you must wash yourself with it until the soap has gone? Wow. A quick word of advice. If you're going to steal soap, make sure it's the liquid type. It's easy to use and you will definitely make a clean getaway. First of all,
hold up.
We'll talk to why they thought of that law.
I can't come up with that.
That's crazy.
There's probably some people that needed it. They're like, all right, use it. Use it all now.
That's funny. So bandits.
That's crazy. And what's that? Oh, that was in Arizona. Mm. get dressed or die. Did you know that in St. Louis, Missouri, it is illegal for a fireman to rescue a woman wearing only a nightgown? In order for her to be rescued, she must be fully clothed.
Gotta get dressed. Man, they don't.
That lady gonna die, man. That lady gonna die. So they gonna sit out there in the fire truck and just watch
her put on the clothes.
Yeah.
Man, but well, you need never to put on a dress.
Yeah, but if she never make it, if it's a burning building, though, what we doing? We just gonna stand. We gonna stand up.
We just stand up.
He gonna have to point her to the right way. Like, you gotta go that way. You gotta go to the exit.
I hope these laws are expired because they don't have an expiration date on any of this. I hope these have been deployed, like no longer available to be used because, like.
It's putting stuff out there on the books that we don't even know about. That like stuff like that. That's crazy. That they should just take.
That
off.
Got to be. I mean, that's a small town.
Yeah.
That says St. Louis, Missouri.
That's a big town.
That's a big town. It could be one of them little communities that's inside. That's got a different district. <That's right. laughs>
Yes, sis. If my house catch on fire while I'm naked, I'm dead. You dead. They're not allowed to come in and get you. You taking too long.
Grab a drape and say it's a dress.
Okay.
And just wrap it around you at the bottom and just. Okay. That's so crazy. This is gonna be my last one because he's foolish. Permission needed to have a bath. Did you know that in Colorado, an old law states that you must have a doctor's prescription before you can have a bath? There must have been a long queue at the reception in those days because, like, who thought of that? <That's
true. laughs> They must have had, like, low water supply. I don't know. Yeah.
Maybe.
And who do you call? Like, who gives you permission? Like, the mayor? Like, it's like, yo.
And then, you know, they used to have bathhouses and stuff way back then.
That's true. So maybe that's it.
So maybe that's where the law came in at back. Yeah.
It says these right here draining me.
if you combine Colorado and Arizona, all you gotta do is steal soap and you don't have to get permission.
There we go.
That's it. Yeah.
There we go. Now these are actual laws and facts. So I just wanted to let y'all know that our fact of the day were brought to you by laws that are actually in the United States and they are legal. Yeah. So I'm not putting any of these up on our site. You can check out the show to get them. But oh yeah, we know, Joe. One thing about it, Joe.
We know, Joe.
We know.
We know.
We know.
Three full times.
None of us. So, Mutaki, okay, we got a couple more questions for you before we get you out of here. Let's see. Now, these are on our Get to Know Mutaki session, because everybody know you as being this, you know, wonderful criminal defense attorney and all of those wonderful quirks. You know, we don't want to talk business all day today. We bring you on here so that you can relax. Let your shoulders, you know,
unloosen your tie a little bit.
Now we have because now the people want to know these things. We got some things that the people want to know.
Okay, good. So, people make up enough stuff, so I'd rather give them the answers than
that's true too. That's true.
Well, I probably don't have a lot of questions that people lie and make up about. I don't really care about that type of stuff. Yeah. I don't, you know, if they want to know that, they can come and ask you personally. We grown.
Yeah.
You know, they definitely, all these things they're making up about you, they can really ask you personally.
Yeah.
It's so easy, so simple. What if no one was able to get you angry in a situation? I'm sorry, I said that all wrong. What if someone is able to get you angry in a situation? How do you calm down?
I have to like walk away from the situation and so I can't be in it because like it takes a lot to get me angry, like, you know, so most stuff just like bounce off my shoulders and that's it, or I can address it without reaching that point of like actually being angry. But if I reach the point of actually being angry, I have to like walk away from the situation and calm myself down. You know, take deep breaths, look at something else, look at listen to music, you know, whatever it is to like remove myself completely from the situation.
Okay. That's a clutch answer, you know. At least you're not trying to stay in the situation.
Nah.
that's good. All right, now tell us what you would do differently if Netflix wasn't around.
Ooh. See, I don't even have cable. Like, I cut the cord. So Netflix is like my only entertainment kind of, but I don't watch it that much. So if I didn't have Netflix, I'd just sit around and listen to music, like on my downtime.
So you don't have Hulu?
I don't have Hulu. I'm on my brother's like AT&T account, so I can go on stuff on there. I have HBO Max, but I rarely use that. I just got that when to watch Insecure when that was out.
I feel you though.
But Netflix is my go-to. But if I didn't have that, maybe I'd do HBO Max or AT&T, but probably just cut it off, listen to music.
Okay, well, Netflix. So we know he like his Netflix.
Yeah.
And that's
not music. Is not always key. He said music, though. Music.
He did
music.
Say music.
He'll take the music over everything.
He'll take the music if he can't. But he said if he didn't have Netflix.
Well, music is my first go-to.
Okay. Like there we go. Now.
I really want to sit down and like just like, all right, let me watch something to get my mind off of everything, then I'll turn on Netflix.
Okay.
Most definitely.
These some funny icebreaker questions. Okay. If you were a condiment, which one would you be? No, but seriously, see, let me tell y'all something about icebreaker questions. They're petty questions.
Yeah.
But they make a person. They make a person have to go inside of themselves to figure out some of these answers, because who think of themselves as a condiment?
Right.
What condiment would you be? Would you be the tomato, the lettuce, the mayo, the ketchup, the guacamole? Which one? The bun?
He gonna tell my shell to eat.
I would say maybe like spicy mustard. give me a little bit of
kick,
the right taste, you know,
little tang, but sweet.
It's a little different, out of the norm. You know,
I like that.
Joe, bye.
Joe, get out the comments today.
But it actually asks what type of condiment, because I think they want people. See, to me, this is a tricky question. Mm-hmm. To me, I think that they want you to be vain, mm-hmm. so that you can describe yourself as something that you really think that you could be, or as you are, mm-hmm. in that form. Like, who think of themselves? Mm-hmm. And so you got to think of yourself as like a top-notch condiment. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So he said spicy mustard. Not just mustard. Not just like regular yellow fridges. He said spicy. Okay.
So y'all not going to answer it?
No, it's just for you. These are just for you.
Queen, what condiment will you be, Queen? What condiment will you be?
I guess I should have been thinking, huh? Condiment. Queen, you need to be thinking too, because I'm coming right back to you.
I'll take ketchup.
And I'm gonna say guacamole.
Guacamole.
I thought about guac.
I'm gonna say guac. I'll be guac. I'll say that. I like it because it's fresh.
Yeah.
Ooh, yes.
All right. I want it to be that good black folk hot sauce. What kind is that?
Is that Louisiana or is that the dot?
who doing that? I can do what I want to do over here. E, we can do
Jesus.
He be so jelly. All right, he said Grey Poupon. All right, well, why Grey Poupon? Answer that for us. All right, so if you could go back in time, when would you travel to? What time?
I would want to be the 60s. Like the civil rights movement, like the heart of it. And more like the Black Panther, you know, part of it. And I would love to go back knowing what I know now. So I could be like, yo, that's the government infiltrated, like chill, you know.
Right.
You know,
just chill. Yes.
Or like, we don't need to do all this infighting, like let's organize a little bit more. Like, we got power, we can just do a little bit more to, you know, so they don't destroy us. So I would love to go back with the knowledge that I have now to like to build those real Black social organizations.
I like that. That's a good time.
Yeah. I'll say the Harlem Renaissance.
That'd be fun.
Was that in the 60s?
The Harlem Renaissance, that was like the
30s, 40s.
Yeah.
That was back then. I thought that was right. Lord, I thought it was. 60s.
But it was music, art, fashion.
That was kind
of
dope though. That was the dope part. That era.
Yeah.
But the civil rights movement and the Renaissance are a very important part of our history. So, you know, either one would be great.
Yeah.
I was thinking more of the 70s because that's when they were coming off of the civil rights movement, but we still needed people to kind of like push it. And I think I would have been that girl. I would have been like out there like, listen, we can't let what they've been fighting for. We can't just think that we're comfortable because you see, we do it every time. Yeah. I would have been able to tell us, listen, in 10 years, we're going to be comfortable again. 10 years, we're going to be comfortable again.
Yeah.
10 years, we're going to be comfortable again. Let's stop that shit right now.
Yeah.
Let's fix it. Let's mold it. And let's go on and work this out so we don't have to have a... And I would have told them, hey, segregation.
Keep it.
Let's stay that way.
That part, we're not gonna keep it.
I just would have said, let's stay that way.
We good. Yeah. We good.
You know, because I think integration ruined everything. But, you know.
Yeah. But that's a whole nother topic.
Yeah.
A whole nother topic.
All right. So let's see. I got some circled on here. Queen, I want you to answer some of these too, because, you know, we got to. You already
he talking, don't want to be by himself answering these questions.
Yeah, you see that he's talking about what kind of color y'all gonna be. He wanna throw stuff out. Wait, what's your sign, Mutaki?
I'm a Virgo.
Oh, that's why.
In the front door.
He's a Virgo.
My type of guy.
Okay, when you answered this, you said that you use HBO Max for Insecure. Is that something you're currently watching now?
Nah, that season over with. I just got into this show on Netflix called Sex Life. It's pretty good.
Yeah, you a Virgo.
Okay. All day long.
It's Netflix though, so you know it's not that.
I ain't watched Netflix in months. I have not watched them in months.
Yeah, it's good.
I love Netflix. I'm a Netflix movie person though. I used to be big on series when I had time. I do not have time for series now. Because I fall asleep in the middle of a movie now. So if I'm putting the movie on, it's really kind of like to get me prepared for bed.
Yeah.
I don't really have time to sit and watch TV like that. What is your spirit animal and why?
It's a hawk.
You knew that answer right off bat.
It is. Like so somebody asked me that question like years ago, and I didn't know. And so like so hawks like legit show up every time I'm going through. And it doesn't have to be a down, like it could be a up. But like, so I looked it up, and so hawks represent like focus and like just paying attention. And it can also be, you know, like danger is around because they're like,
they're very dangerous things. They're very dangerous.
They're like kind of like the prey. So they look down and like can capture things. And so whenever, not necessarily like danger is around, but like a situation coming up, like it'll be a hawk outside my door, outside my window, or something like that. I look up, there's a hawk right there. So I've adopted the hawk as my spirit animal. Yeah.
Queen.
I think mine's a cardinal, I think, if I'm not mistaken. But I'm out. I'll get back with y'all now. But I think it's the cardinal dog.
And mine is the owl.
Owl. Wow. All birds.
All birds.
Yeah.
I like the spirit animal thing though. That's it. It kind of when you learn, you know, kind of learn more about it, it gives you a little bit of reference and more understanding of why you may be the way you are with certain situations too. So I like it. Oh, where would you go if you knew you might get stuck there for a year?
Oh.
One of my favorite beaches I went to was in Tobago's. It was called Pirate Island. And it was just quiet, not too many people there. The snorkeling was amazing. It's like you're swimming in an aquarium. And it's just like super peaceful, and I could literally be there for a year. So I'll say that.
And you know you could do that for a year.
I know I could do that for a year. Okay. I love people, but at the same time, like I could do without people. That's the Virgo in me as well. And so I could definitely just like live on an island and snorkel and eat fish, you know, for a year. I'd be good.
All right, now we're going to get a little personal with this icebreaker question because it's personal.
Uh-oh.
What was the last dream you had about?
Ooh, I don't even
People dream and they don't. A lot of people don't remember their dreams, and a lot of people don't like to try to interpret their dreams because they know that dreams mean things.
And I love dreams and but I don't even remember the last one I had. And I think because I just haven't been sleeping well or just waking up a lot faster. So I can't remember. It's not coming to me right now.
Okay. Quinn, I ain't gonna ask you that.
Cause look, you already know. You know I got an answer for you. Everything that we got going on right now, that's what I've been dreaming about.
Yeah, because that's because that's our reverence right now. So that's why I'm not gonna ask you that, because I know we'll go on about that. We got 10 minutes left with Mutaki before our show end for the day. So we're gonna get I got two more icebreaker questions, and then we'll have you give them either a quote you live by or some insight for the day. Let's see. What is your most used emoji?
The crying emoji or the shaking my head emoji.
Like crying as in tears or crying
The laugh, the crying laugh.
Okay. I was gonna say, damn, we crying a lot.
Yeah. I saw an article not too long ago that said that's played out. The younger generation say it's lame to use that emoji, the crying laughing emoji.
Really?
Yeah, it means we're old. Yeah, it means we're old if we use that. So.
But I don't care.
I'm gonna just be old. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, I'll just be old. Because I use that all the time. That, the crown, and the heart is one of them.
Yeah. And with our last question, we're gonna do a 2-for-1.
Okay.
Okay, so it is, what is the best gift you've ever given, and what is the best gift you've ever received?
Oh. Best gift I ever given, me, my brother, and sister went in and bought my mom a car for her 60th birthday.
Okay.
And it wasn't really the car, you know what I'm saying? But it was the fact that, one, it was what she wanted. Two, it was how we can, you know, material doesn't mean much, but it was just okay, mom, we're giving this back to you. You know, everything that you're giving to us, we're giving it back to you. And she appreciated it. She really genuinely appreciated everywhere she went. Here's the car. I felt good, to be able to do that and show her, pay her back in that form, you know. Best gift I've ever received. My grandmother's wedding ring. When she passed away, she and I don't know why, when she passed away, she left it to me, so I still consider it a gift. I wasn't expecting it, of course, And two, you know, like I think it showed me that she saw me like in a certain light for her to do that. And so, you know, like, so of course, like I cherish it, you know, and everything, but I think, you know, it's kind of like that unspoken thing, like her speaking to me from the other side.
Right.
When I found out she left me that, so.
Okay.
That's cool.
That's real cool. I like that. That's so. Thank you for playing our little game today and being such a good sport about it.
Yeah, it was fun.
I want. We're gonna go around. We're gonna go around our little circle here because Queen normally starts off with our goodbye for the day. I end it. But with a guest, it's always the guest, and we want you to tell us, or you know. Either you can give them something that you live by, some insight, you know, encourage the people, Mataki. Give them something you like.
One of my favorite quotes, and I can think about it now because it actually came up on my memories today from on Facebook from like 2009. But one of my favorite books is like The Invisible Man by Ralph Ellison. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite quotes from The Invisible Man is play the game, but don't believe it. And it's important to me. I mean, I like that quote because it's so difficult being a Black man having to function in like this Western world, you know, having to function in a society that you know is not designed for you, not made for you, but you trying to like work it like within, mm-hmm. Especially in the law field. You know, like I'm most of the time, one of the only Black men in the courtroom that's not in shackles or about to be in shackles. Most of the time, like in different circles and functions and stuff like that, like I'm the only Black dude. And a lot of times people look at me like, yo, you know, like kind of question, like, you know, are you a sellout? Are you not a sellout? Like, what are you doing? And I've had to like, you know, like we get frustrated with the system so much that it's like, what the hell are we doing here? But I've learned that you can't affect change without like working in it. And somebody got to play that role. I ain't trying to say that everybody like need to throw on a suit and be in the courthouse or be in the city hall or be in the, you know, the
somebody got to do it though.
But somebody got to do it. But like, it's important. So when you say like play the game but don't believe in it, like when you start believing in it, you lost. You know, like when you start like, oh, these people out here looking out for me. Oh, they got my back. Oh, they gonna make sure I'm straight. Then you're not gonna be looking out for the people that you need to be looking out for. But you gotta play the game and make sure that the people you want to look out for are going to get the things that they need.
So is that quote actually by Ralph Ellison, or is that one of the quotes that he used of someone else's?
It's in a book. It's in Invisible Man. So it's Ralph Ellison said it in the book.
Okay. And it's play the game, but don't.
Play the game, but don't believe it.
I like that.
Play the game.
I got that on my to read book, my to read list, and I probably need to push it up. You said play the game, but don't believe in it. And let me tell you something about that quote. Queen, what you say?
No, I'm just talking about what the quote. Oh. The game, don't believe.
Let me that when you were saying that, like it gave me shock because I get so frustrated at times with the political realm and trying to magnify the fact that trying to see the bigger picture.
Right.
You know, even with the local realm of ramifications and all of that. Mm-hmm. And when people try to tell me that these people are trying to fight for you, and you already know exactly the opposite of that, and you start to finally believe that they are, I don't have a conversation for you as far as like trying to, there's no debacle. We can't debate. We can't have any friendly banter about this subject, stuff like that. And I've gotten to that it's sad. I've had to get to, cut off a lot of conversations due to that particular reason. People have now found themselves believing in the system right. more than they believe in what you have to do to beat the system.
Right.
So I really appreciate you and applaud you for sharing that quote with us today. Queen. Oh, wait. Okay. Go ahead. Yeah, thank you for that. Continue to because I cut into that. So
but that's I go back to that every time, you know, I'm in the courthouse or I'm in a situation or I'm at a table, like, man, I'm the only one around. I go back to that. So I just think that's important, you know, for everybody. Like, you know, at some point, and it might not even be in a professional setting, it might be in another setting where you know you got to be like, all right, I got to play my chameleon role right now. Let me play this game. But like, let me not fall for the okie doke at the same time.
Correct. Yeah.
All right. So thank you for that again, Mutaki, for sharing your one of the things that you believe in, because, you know, obviously, if you have that narrative and you going into the courtroom to fight for the people with a narrative that I know it's me that have to do this job to get them off of this, it's not the laws and all that that's going to completely help, because most laws are written to not help the black men. The laws were not written for us. So, Queen, what you got to say, baby? What was telling the people today? What we telling the people?
Well, Mutaki, I just want to tell you, thank you for coming on. Congratulations with everything you got going on. Because every time I see that sign, I just smile. When I see that sign, when I ride down the road, be like, look at them. That's black excellence there. And to be in the community where you grew up at, excellent. Appreciate but it. People, hey, same old, same old. Y'all look, live life, enjoy yourselves, take it one day at a time, video journal, write down your plans, your goals, and just enjoy life. Life is precious. We all going through something, but hey, take it one day at a time, and just know at the end of the tunnel, it's always something better. It's always something better. So look, we appreciate y'all. Make sure y'all continue to check out Shelby's World Podcast. You know, we on this summer promo tour, baby, and it is going lovely. We are enjoying ourselves. Next stop is Jacksonville, Florida, July 16th through the 18th. Y'all get ready. Me and Queen appreciate y'all. We salute.
Thank y'all so much. And thank you again to Mutaki, because for one, when we consider the interviewees that come on, it's always a reason for you all to come on, because being a community advocate, I want to always have people knowledgeable of the people we have in our communities. So I know a lot of people know who you are, but that doesn't mean that everybody knows who you are. So for some of the audience base that we have that are in the North Florida area or just even around this city alone that maybe want to come to you, but, you know, may not feel like, oh, he may just be an attorney who serves the people he know, mm-hmm. you know, we want to shut down that narrative. Mm-hmm. All black people are not in the pocket and in the buddy system of just their people and who they grew up with. If they're black, some of them just have they just have the heart to want to help you and the passion to want to help you because you're going through something that even if you are guilty, doesn't mean that everything that you've done doesn't mean you can't rectify. And a lot of times as black people, we give up on ourselves because we feel like the system ain't already set out there for us. But when we got somebody working for us in the system, it makes us feel a little bit more at ease. So thank you for doing what you do. We applaud you. We've been wanting to get you on for a while anyway. So thank you for making the time because you are busy. So we do appreciate you, you know, giving us your time, your space, welcoming us into your area and, you know, just allowing that type of energy to be preserved around here. Thank you, Queen, for always being the best co-host in the world. I appreciate you and applaud you. Thank you for handling this weekend the way you handled this weekend. And you know, we got more and more to come. As Queen said, we will be in a city near you. We love y'all. We appreciate y'all. We like y'all. Always, always tune into SW Podcast. If you ain't nowhere else, check in with us.
Check in with us.
Y'all. Please take off.
Thank you all.